Well, when I looked at the rota for today, I thought, what a gift. Because this is all about Philip, the deacon. And having been a deacon for 4 years during my curacy, it just felt a gift. But I'm in danger of kind of being so familiar maybe with this passage that I kind of really don't listen for the new thing that God wants to do. And I'm in danger also of being a bit on a soapbox, so apologies for that. But I hope that this is something about equipping us all, the saints of God, for ministry. So when I look at a passage and I know that it's really familiar, I kind of have to slow down, and I'd recommend that too. If it's something that you've read year in, year out, as some of the passages we do, slow down and be curious. Ask questions of the passage. And so I want to share a couple of things that just struck me instantly as I read this passage slowly. The first was that the eunuch had no name. And so I want to give him one today. Now, this is not in the Bible, I know, but it helped me to think of him as a real person. And so I want to call him Emeka Dilichukwu. Success belongs to the great God. And I'm going to use Emeka for short. The other thing that struck me was that it was not only Emeka that was on a journey, but perhaps Philip too. For this journey, I think, was something about courage and calling and cross-cultural engagement in mission. Perhaps a steep learning curve for Philip about how to share God's love with those who have not yet heard. And it's a learning curve that I can certainly relate to and have been kind of grappling with to some extent on my curacy. So let's follow Philip's journey for a moment. In Acts 6, we see Philip being chosen by God and the church as a deacon to feed the neglected widows in the distribution of food. However, theologian Paul Avis challenges what he calls the submissive leadership image of waiting on tables, as he explains that in the original text, the translation suggests that the daily deacon ministry, diaconia, in which the widows were neglected, was not just the distribution of food, but the ministry of the word. He suggests that these women needed to hear in their own tongue and in their own homes. Some people may need a story more than bread. So Philip was being prepared, perhaps, for a ministry of interpretation, to become a translator of God's word to those on the margins of the church and the world, those beyond our walls. But part of that call as deacon may well have been to help the people of God to understand and connect themselves with those who are marginalised or feel marginalised, that all might know the acceptance and the love God has for them. But let's jump forward a bit, as Philip was kind of in the habit of doing, it appears, to earlier in Acts chapter 8. Stephen, another deacon, has been stoned. Paul has started to destroy the church, and persecution has broken out in Jerusalem. So the Christians and leaders are scattered, and Philip ends up in Samaria, the land of the Samaritans, the perceived enemy. Now, I find it interesting that it is only perhaps through the persecution, when it becomes really, really uncomfortable, that the Christians and their leaders are in the right place to start to spread the gospel and make disciples, as Jesus commanded them to do, beyond Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So in Samaria, Philip preaches the gospel, and we see miracles and we see healings. However, God interrupts these seemingly good plans, and he nudges him by his spirit to head south to the desert road. possibly another uncomfortable place. Fortunately, for the sake of the kingdom, Philip listens and he follows the call. And lo and behold, it says in one of the commentaries. So surprise, surprise, he has just managed to bump into a eunuch riding on a chariot. And this eunuch, Emeka, was on a serious pilgrimage, much longer than we would go from here to Canterbury, or even the length of the Santiago de Compostela. Ethiopia to Jerusalem was 1,500 miles as the crow flies. So 3 hours to fly in a plane, 3.5 days to drive, and 32 days to walk. Now, there are all sorts of reasons to go on a pilgrimage, but it tells us here that Emeka went to worship in Jerusalem. God was already at work in this man with a very different spirituality to Philip's. God had already been drawing him to scripture and to worship. Some apparently at this time were being drawn to Judaism and to Jerusalem as this calm oasis in amongst the other worship and practices of the nation around them. So Philip, hearing Emeka reading aloud, as was the tradition in those days, he runs alongside the chariot and asks him if he understands what he's reading. He asks a question. He doesn't yet give his view or his opinion, and he respects Emeka's space by waiting to be invited to get into the chariot with him. Now, I was reminded a bit about the importance of respecting people's space as I was on retreat this week in Sheldon. According to the retired bishop who led the retreat, he said women are much more sensitive to having their space invaded. But lots and lots of people for different reasons are sensitive to having their space invaded. So in pastoral and in personal conversations like here, as we do in prayer ministry, it is always important to give people space and approach with care. Philip's waiting to be invited speaks of his respect, protection, and awareness of the other. And perhaps protection of himself, for both Emeka and Philip seem to be strangers alone in the desert. Or were they? Commentaries suggest that Emeka would not have been travelling alone, but with a whole community, a crowd of people. So Philip was being invited to join Emeka and his community on this road, which was not an unusual occurrence for this time. So suddenly Philip becomes the bridge between cultures, between spiritualities, and possibly even genders, as he speaks to Emeka, showing acceptance and a hospitality of heart to someone whose experience would have been that of the outsider in the echelons of Jewish power in Jerusalem. Not only because he was a foreigner, but because he was a castrated man. Not so different, perhaps, to a transgender person today. And then Philip listens again. He listens to the question Emeka asks. Now, we have no time scale for this interaction, and the journey, as we heard, could have taken weeks. So the conversation could have been a bit sporadic as they travelled and lived life together on the journey. However, somewhere on the way, Emeka asks, "Who is this prophet speaking about? I need help to understand." And Philip is only too pleased to oblige. Or is he? Maybe he was a little scared. Perhaps he was worried that he didn't have the words to say. Perhaps inside his head, a voice was telling him, "Your only experience is waiting on tables and making tea. What on earth have you got to say?" And Andy will tell you that when I was at Yeovilton and I was working in the coffee shop that was there mostly for recruits, young recruits in the Navy, but for anyone, people used to come in and we were just there. And we were there to listen. It was a ministry of presence, to to listen to what people came in, whether they were playing on the Xbox, watching the telly, or wanted to make a cup of coffee. We were a place of hospitality. And sometimes I got opportunity to show, maybe in action or in words, something of the love of Jesus for these people. But I would say to Andy, and sometimes to others, I just spend all my day doing the dishwasher. And I think some of us can be like that. Maybe, well, we really haven't got anything to say because we just do. Perhaps Philip thought, well, I have some experience in preaching and healing, and well, perhaps you can fill in the gap. I have experience in other ministries, but not evangelism. That's for someone else to do. And I'm sorry, but actually it isn't. If the kingdom and the church is to grow, and was to grow then, this would be for everyone. And I guess it may not be as difficult as we think. Research shows, and if you've been in a cell group and you're doing Talking Jesus, apologies if you're kind of in front or behind this, but there is some research that shows that 67% of non-Christians already know an active Christian, either in their family, their friends, at work, whereas only 1% know a church leader or a youth worker. So it's really good not to just leave it to the clergy or to the youth workers. We are all in this together. It is for all of us. Now, apparently many people who would not call themselves Christians are actually open to hear our story, as long as we care about their opinions too. If we invest in real friendships with them, if we let go of our agenda. And they like us, apparently. This is how many describe Christians: friendly, caring, and good-humoured. I don't know whether I am. Ask Andy. However, a third of Christians actually think they may cause offence. 34 think that others are better suited to this. 26% don't feel comfortable, and 21% feel that we don't know how to share. But most of us, I guess, are quite happy to tell a story. And my guess is that Philip may have shared a few stories en route too, not started with such a factual conversation as it appears in black and white on paper. I guess that he would not just have shared his scriptural knowledge, because he may not have had quite as much anyway as the apostles and the teachers. But hopefully he would have been able to share his story. The story of how he used to wait on tables. The joy of chatting with the widows. How the Holy Spirit had helped him in times of persecution. And how Jesus had come alongside him when he was anxious and alone at the loss of his friend Stephen. How the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection had made a difference to him and set him free. Now I wonder, how has Jesus' death and resurrection made a difference to you? What stories do you have to tell? Because people, it appears, want to hear the words brought alive in the testimony to Jesus' love and his forgiveness. Now, it may make us feel vulnerable, but I think vulnerability and authenticity is probably key in sharing our story. And story is a language that all can understand. People are looking, even today, to see and hear if Christianity and the church actually work. What difference does it really make? They're wanting to hear our story, and hopefully we want to hear theirs too. For in sharing our story, I want to suggest that the conversation becomes a bit like a sacrament, or perhaps a sacrament, an ordinary everyday occurrence that God can use to change both of us involved. Now, Emeka and Philip would both have been affected by this encounter with the scriptures and with each other. both experiencing how God changes hearts and blesses us to be a blessing to others, even perhaps especially those we might consider to be outsiders. So how can this passage help us? For it is here in the Bible to help us to learn. Well, something that I thought is, God wastes nothing. He used Philip's journey, his life, his experiences to speak and to bless others. We have a story to tell, using words if we need to. For many, evangelism is a scary word, and the introverts particularly find it difficult. And that is okay. Moses needed his brother Aaron to speak with him. And actions can so often speak louder than words. But as we do those actions, we need to be perhaps a little prepared that someone on the journey might actually ask us why we're doing it. But have no fear. It says so many times in the Bible. And I'm talking to myself as well as everybody here. Have no fear, because if we listen and we pray, God will give us the words to say. God is already working in people's lives. We don't have to take God to them or to the world. God is already there. It is his mission and not ours. We are just asked to make disciples, not convert people. That's God's job. We're called to awaken the gospel in people so that love can become real and active, so we can inspire them by both our stories and our action. But what really struck me too is that Philip went to the desert himself. And someone once said to me, perhaps the deserts are our city estates these days. Philip went to the desert, that perhaps difficult place himself, to be able to come alongside someone that was also in the desert. But do not fear, for if it is God's appointment and God has been preparing hearts, then we need to go, and perhaps not always expect them to come to us, to go to their place rather than expect them to come to ours. Although 28% of people came to faith in a standard church service, so there is hope. Not one or the other, is it? Both and. One translation I read said that at the chariot, Philip took a breath. Now, he may have been really worn out with all the running, catching up with the chariot, but also perhaps he needed that space to take a breath, not to wade on in there, taking a breath to pray. Holy Spirit, what does this person need for you to bless them? And I want to tell you to be yourself. Be natural. Living life together with people. As we would talk about anything else, we can also talk about Jesus. But perhaps not to preach a monologue, says Neistat here, but to respect, to listen and to learn together. It is about us. It's about them. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda to be dumped on somebody, but about sharing love with somebody. And there was something that kind of just was ignited in the heart of the Mecca. And when he looked at the water, he said, I want to be baptized. And together they went in the water. So perhaps both of them at that moment were cleansed and renewed, set free to serve in another place, another time. For it changes us when we see people grow in who God has called them to be. It is a joy to see people grow in faith, in their gifting, in their love of God. It is a joy when people recognize themselves as a child of God. And I also want to say that all are called to deacon ministry. We are called, we are ordained at baptism for diaconal deacon service. So it's not just for the clergy, it's not just for the evangelists. The clergy are here to hopefully model, to equip, and to encourage the ministry that God calls all God's people to. The deacons are often described as a bridge between the church and the world. And I like to think of us being more as a kind of a stepping stone, a place of stability, perhaps for a time. Not a place of dependency, but a freedom and encouragement to take that next step. And maybe not even a bridge into the inherited church always, but an accompanier, as Anne Morrissey says, of the more precarious ways of Christian community. A connection to the body of Christ, whether that's inside or outside of our walls. And be encouraged, because people are searching. There are subliminal signs of spiritual searching all over the high street and all over the internet. Keep our ears and eyes open to those offers of those pseudo-kingdom promises among the advertisements, for these might be the starting point of a conversation. And keep going. Philip disappeared off to another place to share the good news, and Emeka goes home rejoicing. And tradition has it that this black African eunuch was the first Gentile non-Jewish Christian who went on to share his faith with the people of Africa. So St. James was a person of pilgrimage, a go person. So what about us? How can we share God's story and ours with others who have not yet heard? Now, we'll be at different stages on our journey in all of this. Some may feel a little more confident than others. But there may be some small steps that we can take to perhaps be better equipped and to grow that step further. Now, one person said to me recently that they wanted to learn more about the Bible and how it spoke to current situations and issues, and so they might have an answer to some of the questions. And you might want to learn more about the Bible and some of the issues and how it addresses those. But also, you might want to have confidence to say, I don't know. Because some of the answers are not black and white. And we might need a hand to find out about those things. Let's learn together, find out together. Some of us might want to pray for courage, that if someone asks us about faith or about church in conversations, that we have the wisdom to know how much or how little to say, to be able to share our story with confidence. Some of us might like to think of five people to pray for, as was suggested as well in Thy Kingdom Come Week recently, and see what God does next time you have a conversation with them. Now, I was asked on an application form this week what I do beyond the church, and I was a little challenged. How much contact do you have with non-Christians? We might actually like to join a club or something, if you don't already, to actually live life alongside other people, and actually just for the fun of it. We might like to pray, too, that the eclectic variety of spirituality on offer in our society today, in all of that, that Jesus will make himself known and people might come to know him. But something that I'd like to recommend, if you can, is to go bimbling. Now, this is on the vision strategy for St. Peter's. And bimbling is kind of just walking the streets and see who you bump into, a bit like Philip. And I did this a bit more when I was first a curate, and actually it was amazing who I bumped into, the places I passed, the houses I passed, and just saw somebody coming out of the door, or even to just knock on a door that actually I thought I was doing about something else, and they invited me in for a cup of tea, and I ended up having a different conversation. So bimbling, if you can manage it, might be something that you'd like to do. Ask God, where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do? And if we can't do the bimbling and the walking, then actually we can ask those questions anyway. Who is it that I can bless today, either with my prayers or my conversations? So I'm going to finish, because I've gone on too long, as usual. Deacon ministry, then, I believe, is a call to a servant ministry of availability, of hospitality, both of heart and maybe of home, and vulnerability. Now, God called Philip by name, as he calls us by name, to share the love of Jesus with those who have yet to discover it. But alongside that, he tells us, do not be afraid. Don't agonize over this. Don't let it become a burden. Because he tells us, I will be with you always. We don't get into the chariot on our own. We get into the chariot with Jesus. And Emeka Dilachukwu says, surprise, surprise, success belongs to our great God. Hallelujah.